Memorandum on the Continuity of Genocidal Crimes in Canada, an Appeal to the Global Community, issued by the Central Directorate of the International Tribunal of Crimes of Church and State, ITCCS, on September 30, 2016. A master plan by the Canadian government and Catholic and Protestant churches to exterminate Indigenous nations has been in operation across Canada since November 25, 1910. This plan was authorized and has been maintained by the Crown of England and its Privy Council Office, the Vatican, Catholic, Anglican, and United Church of Canada, along with Royal Canadian Mounted Police, local police, the judiciary, and private corporations. This plan consisted of a state and church-funded program of systemic intergenerational genocide based initially within the so-called Indian residential school system, established by a federal law in July 1, 1920. Over a century, that system killed more than half of the children incarcerated within it, or more than 65,000 children. It has also served as the launching pad for a general campaign of ethnic cleansing, aimed primarily at the non-assimilated, predominantly Western Aboriginal tribes, a campaign that continues to the present day. This genocide has accounted for the massive depopulation of more than 95% of the original West Coast Native Nations, a total killing of somewhere around 1 million people. Besides such a general depopulation, the specific purpose of this genocidal campaign was the extermination of the traditional Indigenous kinship network and the matriarchal clan mother system of authority that ensured Indigenous control of lands and resources. The target of this extermination was the Native family system, and specifically traditional women and their children. That traditional system was in fact effectively destroyed by the Indian residential schools between 1910 and 1996, when the last such school closed. Despite the phasing out of Indian residential schools after 1970, this genocidal plan has intensified and diversified and has been operated by different branches of the Canadian government, including the family welfare and family court system, and by means of state-funded Aboriginal band councils. The chiefs of these councils have played a key role in eradicating any lingering Indigenous authority and control over traditional lands and resources and destroying their own people. They are doing so at the behest and in the payment of the Canadian government and domestic companies, as well as multinational corporations from America, Japan, and China. The expulsion of all remaining traditional Native tribes from their West Coast lands assumed greater urgency as the 20th century closed and the global demand for hydroelectricity, timber, minerals, and other British Columbia resources intensified. Consequently, the past quarter century has witnessed an escalation of violence against Indians in Canada and a return to the violent methods of the early colonial period. By the 1990s, large numbers of Aboriginal families in northern BC began disappearing at the hands of unofficial death squads manned by off-duty RCMP officers and local policemen, as well as third-party contractors hired by the federal government, its Aboriginal frontmen, and different corporations. By 1995, when our own independent campaign to expose residential school crimes began making headlines in the Canadian media, stories of disappearances of Native families were also proliferating. Together, these exposures provoked a public misinformation campaign by the RCMP designed to fog and conceal the extent and the nature of the disappearances. this misinformation was only partly successful and prompted the Government of Canada to take firmer measures to erase any public awareness of the ongoing genocide of Native families. It did so by means of secret government cabinet directive dated April 3, 1998. This directive by the Liberal government of Jean Chrétien consisted of an official plan of state terror that was aimed at Aboriginal activists and residential school survivors and their supporters, including our own campaign led by our ITCCS North American Field Secretary Kevin Annett. The Chrétien terror plan authorized the use of black ops methods of illegal monitoring, disruption, and violence against these targeted groups, including, to quote the directive, the elimination of individuals who held knowledge or evidence of genocidal acts by Canadian church and state employees. This cabinet directive is apparently still in operation. It has caused the death of at least 24 Aboriginal activists who have been assassinated by police and RCMP operatives since 1998, including members of our own network. This cabinet directive in question was issued for implementation by the federal government to E Division of the RCMP in Vancouver in the first week of June 1998, just before the first independent tribunal into Indian residential school crimes was convened by our movement and a United Nations affiliate, IHRAAM, I-H-R-A-A-M, on June 12th. In fact, this disruption of the IHRAAM tribunal was the first goal of this state terror campaign, according to statements made by RCMP E-Division Inspector Peter Montague, who led the local campaign. This disruption became especially active after the tribunal gave a public airing to the first reports of organized murder and child trafficking among northern BC tribes. It is important to note that this Chrétien State Terror Directive of April 3, 1998 was aimed at anyone who threatened to expose the historic and ongoing genocide of Native people. Between 2006 and 2012, seven key eyewitnesses and prominent Indigenous members of our ITCCS network in Vancouver and Winnipeg were killed at the hands of this directive. Harriet Nahani, Johnny Bingo Dawson, Ricky Lavallee, Harry Wilson, William Coombs, Edna Phillips, and Chief Louis Daniels. In the process of its state terror campaign, the Chrétien directive disrupted and marginalized much of our work and the movement to prosecute church and state for residential school crimes. But for many years, it also concealed the slaughter and disappearance of Aboriginal families across BC. For example, after June 1998, IHRAAM Tribunal had been attacked and neutralized by RCMP operatives, the same agents under the direction of RCMP Inspector Peter Montague engaged in a similar destruction of the growing effort to identify the missing Native people across BC and in Vancouver's downtown east side. This state-level attack on genuine missing people's inquiry was prompted by the fact that by this point, the early 1999, startling new evidence began to surface that ties the identity of some of the present-day killers of Native people with men who work in the Indian residential school system. In fact, our work has shown that the present senior leadership of the Anglican, Catholic, and United Church of Canada is either directly implicated in residential school-era crimes or is actively protecting those who are, and that these same predators are still engaged in the systemic rape, trafficking, and killing of children. It is therefore clear that a continuity of crime exists that spans decades and links the church-instigated residential school atrocities with the rape, torture, and disappearance of present-day natives, especially women and children. In short, the crime has never stopped and is being protected by the same unholy alliance of church, police, and government, which no doubt explains that trio's unrelenting hostility and sabotage towards our campaign. Our continuing investigations reveal that many of the men who tortured and killed children in the Indian residential schools and who are still preying on Aboriginal women and children are also members or affiliates of the elite Vancouver Club of 915 West Hastings Street. Their odious ranks include three Supreme Court judges, a battery of lawyers, church officials, and corporate officers, a former prime minister and senior member of RCMP and the Canadian military. Virtually all these individuals are practicing members of the Anglican or United Church, and two Catholic bishops are included in their number. Many of these men have also been identified by a former Canadian Security Intelligence Service, CSIS, operative as participants in the murderous Piggy's Palace torture and snuff film ring, including two politicians who now serve in the Canadian Senate, Larry Campbell and Patrick Brazeau. The general purpose and effect of the Chrétien State Terror Directive has been to protect these men and camouflage their links to the residential school era and present-day corporate power brokers. But what cannot be concealed is the clear and direct connection between the highest levels of governmental, police, corporate, church, and judicial power in Canada and these deliberate genocidal crimes. By 2007, once these connections had been firmly proven by our campaign and by the growing testimonies of many Aboriginal eyewitnesses, the Conservative government of Stephen Harper relied on the still operative Chrétien plan to stop these disclosures and place a final spin and containment on the whole issue of genocide in Canada. It did so through its own controlled in-house inquiry, an elaborate public deception known as the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. The TRC was modeled on a standard black ops misdirection campaign to bury evidence, silence witnesses, discredit truth tellers, and exonerate the guilty, with the active compliance of the world media, the United Nations, and every level of judicial and political power in Canada. The TRC buried the truth and the evidence of the residential schools genocide with remarkable success. It did so in order to mask the continuance of that crime among especially West Coast Native nations, and accordingly was followed closely by a second cover-up effort by the present Liberal government of Canada known as the National Missing Women Inquiry. It is clear that this latest stage managed inquiry is a further enactment of the Chrétien plan to eliminate all witnesses and evidence to Canada's final solution of its Indigenous population that began in 1910. The so-called Missing Women Inquiry is operating through the very police agencies, including the RCMP, that are responsible for the killing of targeted Native women and their families. Like the TRC, it is undercutting and halting genuine efforts to reveal genocidal crimes and who is responsible for them, and is eliminating eyewitnesses who dispute the official accounts of the disappearances. It is doing so to ensure that the final destruction of Indigenous peoples and their land base will proceed smoothly and with maximum profit to the corporate and state interests behind the profiting from that destruction. For instance, a key fact being buried by the government and police inquiry is that the West Coast disappearances are the result of special racial and political targeting and are not random killing. This point was established by our investigations as early as the spring of 2003. That is, the vast majority of missing Aboriginal women are from matrilineal clan mother-led families that traditionally controlled the resources and land bases of the different Indian nations. In short, their killing was tantamount to deliberate political assassinations aimed at destroying the remaining traditional leaders and West Coast tribes whose resistance stands in the way of resource-hungry corporations. In that sense, these latest murders are simply the continuation of Canada's long tradition of overt extermination when it comes to Indigenous people. These crimes have an even darker aspect, involving satanic ritualism that our work first documented as early as 1998 in the course of our inquiry into the Indian residential school system. The so-called Ninth Circle Catholic sacrificial cult formed in the 17th century by the Jesuits and still in operation under the directives of the highest level of the Vatican functioned in the Canadian Indian residential schools from their inception. The routine trafficking, torture, and murder of children was practiced in the Anglican and United Church Indian schools as well as the Catholic ones, and has implicated senior members of the government and the British royal family as well as the churches. The same Ninth Circle network continues to kill with impunity in church circles today in West Coast Native communities situated on lands heavily endowed with valuable resources, a fact well established by our research and eyewitnesses. It is clear that the same forces behind the theft of Aboriginal land and wealth are ritually killing and trafficking Native children today as part of a general genocidal agenda. Behind its mask of beneficence, as epitomized by its new spin doctrine, Prime Minister Trudeau, Canada is closed and repressive society that is actively exterminating the remaining non-assimilated Indigenous people within its borders. It is doing so according to its foundational genocidal program of 1910 and the 1998 Crachin Black Ops Directive, and with the active collusion and in the interest of Chinese and American resource corporations. As a stated-led campaign, this culmination of the Canadian genocide has judicial sanction. This is evident in not only the refusal of any Crown Court to try or convict any person or agency for genocidal acts, but by the active prosecution by the same courts of anyone who exposes these crimes. In short, there is no avenue for relief or justice by victims of this genocide within Canada, its courts, or in the agencies of the United Nations, which have turned their backs on the reality of this ongoing crime by Christian Canada. Accordingly, these facts indicate that it now falls on the global community to stand upon international law and bring political and economic sanctions against Canada, the Crown of England, the Vatican, and their church and corporate associates for their ongoing crimes against humanity. Canada and these powers are rogue bodies whose actions threaten not only the innocent but the sovereignty and peace of all nations. This threat is evident in the continued standing policy known as crimen solicitanus within the Roman Catholic Church that subverts child protection laws and the authority of sovereign governments by requiring that every Catholic in the world protect in-house child abusers and conceal child abuse and trafficking from the police. The Anglican Church of England is governed by the same subversive policy. Since its enactment in 1929, this church law and practice has encouraged and caused the systemic murder of children in Canada and around the world to continue unchecked and in open violation of the sovereignty of nation states and their laws. As long as such institutionalized criminality against children is allowed to legally operate, No country can claim to be protecting its own citizens. The Canadian Holocaust of Indigenous people and children must be stopped, as must the depredations of the murderous Ninth Circle and other child sacrificial cults that operate under state and church sanction. There is a clear moral and legal obligation of sovereign nations to restrain and punish proven criminal regimes like Canada, the British Crown, and the Vatican. We therefore call upon and expect nations to do so using their full police, military, and legal machinery. We are especially directing this call to President Vladimir Putin, his government, and people of Russia, and all countries outside the influence of the Western Bloc. Specifically, our ITCCS directorate is asking these governments to do the following: commence comprehensive economic and political sanctions against Canada, England, and the Vatican as convicted genocidal regimes, including by seeking their formal censure and expulsion from the General Assembly of the United Nations and imposing a trade and tourism embargo on these states. Dispatch peacekeeping forces to Canada to protect Aboriginal eyewitnesses, targeted families, and ITCCS activists who are confronting these crimes, and to perform the arrest of convicted war criminals in Canada. Dispatch professionally trained forensic teams to assist us in the uncovering and examining of crime scenes and mass graves at the site of former Indian residential schools. Assist in arresting and prosecuting those responsible for these ongoing crimes in international courts of law. In the weeks ahead, our delegation will be bringing this appeal and our evidence to many governments and to the people, educators, jurists, and media of the world. Those of us who have revealed and confronted these crimes within Canada had been assaulted, harassed, imprisoned, censored by every level of government, the police, and the courts, and have been prevented from operating freely within our own country. We are therefore bringing this truth beyond Canada's borders for the sake of the army of innocents who have died and who will die if justice is not done. Here we stand. We can do no other. Issued September 30th, 2016, by the ITCCS Central Directorate with the endorsement of elders of the Anishinaabe, Mohawk, Cree, Métis, Squamish Indigenous Nations across Canada. I thank you.